Joining me this evening are Anthony Allen, Pamela Burney-Malarkey, Claire Christian, Ian Clanton and David Fowler. So to begin, because we've got a lot to fit in this evening, each person is going to introduce themselves with a short opening statement about who they are, why they want your vote on the 27th of August. So let's get started with Anthony Allen.
Good evening. My name's Anthony Allen. I'm standing in this election to represent all the people of Douglas South. I have a combination of 30 years business experience and 4 years local government experience. I believe the two combined put me in a strong position to represent the people well in these times that we find ourselves in now and also in the future.
Pamela Burney-Malarkey.
I'm Pamela Burney-Malarkey. I'm standing for the people of Douglas South as an independent candidate. I do so with inspiration and pride. Having listened to constituents, they know that I will take their voice to Timbald and use my professional skills to achieve results. Top three priorities or area of concern for constituents following discussions are affordable housing for all, given regard to the forthcoming all-island strategy for affordable housing, the care review of spending and funding. We must look to the Jonathan Michael independent review that was undertaken for our healthcare system. Thirdly, economic diversification and employment. With 30 years accounting, project management and compliance skills, I can challenge and influence in Timbald.
Claire Christian.
Hi, my name is Claire Christian. My proven track record helping thousands of workers during COVID-19 is a testament to my resolve and determination to do what is right and to build a vibrant community where a hard worker can be successful and thrive in a flourishing economy. To stimulate our economy, we must protect Manx jobs, build a skilled first-class workforce and explore new sectors to start up or relocate. Attract our talent back to the island and encourage external investment. We need to put more money back into the pockets of the islanders to further support and stimulate our economy. We've got to reduce the cost of living by encouraging cheaper renewable energy, scrutinising our fuel and energy suppliers, and supporting our young families by implementing shared parental leave. We need to review the preschool credit system so that it matches increasing nursery fees, and have a focus on investment in our schools. Our teachers are paramount and they need to be rewarded, and we need to give our teachers time to teach. I'm the candidate who is proactively helping the constituents of Douglas South now, helping people with travelling to and from the UK for medical care, supporting families to claim social security and income support for care home costs, improving communication for Spring Valley residents, challenging the DOI on local bus routes and timetables. And I won't take no for an answer. And I do believe that one person can make a change and shape policy. Thank you.
Ian Clanton.
Hello, Douglas South. I'm known as Ian James Clanton. I'm also known as H in the Soul. And I do believe that right now in our island's very tumultuous present, that we have to find a candidate that's actually able to challenge the halls of Tynwald. For more than 1,000 years, our ancient parliament has found ways of connecting to the people, and more so than ever in the over 6 months that Douglas South has been without its appropriate representation, we have a massive backlog of challenges and issues that we need to address. I do believe more than ever that each and every one of us wants someone that we know is a champion, someone who will not quake or fail when they find themselves in a difficult situation. We have all felt that, specifically during COVID-19 and especially during the Brexit situation with the United Kingdom. I am the only candidate that stepped up first after the death, unfortunate death of our dear Bill Malarkey in March to ensure that our representation within Tynwald would actually be seen. I'm also the youngest. I'm here to champion the views of the young and to ensure that each and every person that is here on the Isle of Man has a voice. Although my voice is new, it is one that is very vital, and I depend on you, Douglas South, to make the right decision and to challenge the institutional collapse where we're in at the moment. Not only Brexit and not only COVID-19, it's time that we become a lot more ambitious to represent the views of all people, especially our most vulnerable.
And last but not least, David Fowler.
Hello, I'm David Fowler. I believe I'm the right candidate. I've got passion and energy to look after the people, the environment and the economy. And I've lived in the constituency for over 10 years and I know a lot of the problems that are here, and I think I've got the right solutions to solve things. And I think I've just got great tenacious grit, determination and energy to get things done from day one, you know.
Okay, well, let's dive into some of those, because obviously we've got quite a busy studio this evening. So again, we'll go with alphabetically because it's just a bit easier. So starting and going back to Mr. Allen, you mentioned in your opening statement that you've been a commissioner for 4 years. And that's in Onchan, of course. So drawing on the fact that this is a Douglas South by-election, what do people in Onchan think about you trying to be an MHK for a different constituency?
Well, I don't know what everybody thinks, but I'm just going to share with you the most favourable comment that I heard recently, where one person said to me, it's our loss and Douglas's gain. And I was quite flattered by that. I think for me, having served the people well in Onchan for the last 4 years, it's a natural progression for me to go from local government to national government, having built up 4 years of substantial experience, not only doing surgeries but meetings and helping people along the way. I understand how government works both locally and nationally. It's a great opportunity for me, if I am elected, to serve the people of Douglas South well, with speed. And
well, you did stand, of course, in 2016 as an Onchan candidate. So did you not want to wait 1 year and go for the general election?
I felt when I looked at the situation in Douglas South at the time that there wasn't anyone really that was coming forward with local government experience. My personal opinion is that one of the best routes into government is to serve your apprenticeship as a commissioner or a councillor, and then go into government that way. And I felt that having served my apprenticeship, I would take the opportunity to see whether or not the people of Douglas South were ready to embrace me, and I would in turn do a good job for them going forward.
You've mentioned in your manifesto that you'd like to use your experience as a businessman to create more job opportunities and grow the economy. How do you hope to do that?
A couple of ways. One way is that the government currently does invest in existing businesses, and the government through the DfE does look to encourage new businesses to relocate to the island. I feel that at the moment the application process is quite rigid and is quite off-putting to a lot of people. I think there should be more open-mindedness in that, and there should be an ease of the application process. Also, in tandem with that, there should be further investment in terms of training. I think that our existing population would like to take advantage of that if that opportunity was available. Upskilling in today's environment is going to be very, very important. The jobs that were, the jobs that people thought were there for life is no longer the case. And I think people are looking for opportunities, whether they are young or old, and that has to be led by government investment.
Okay. Well, moving down the line, because as I say, we are short on time. Pamela Burney Malarkey. Now, this may be a tough question, but how much of an advantage does the Malarkey name give you in Douglas South?
The Malarkey name does give an advantage. The bigger advantage is I am very well known in Douglas South. Having previously, prior to even meeting my late husband, I'm very well known. 20 years I've worked for the community in charitable remits within Douglas South.
Well, you detail a number of proposals in your manifesto, one being to partially privatise the steam packet. That stood out to me. To what end?
this is where we as Manx residents, must have the opportunity to buy shares in the steam packet. We need to look to the future. All the issues that we have regarding the steam packet that people constantly raise and have done for many, many years about fare prices, the remit or the looking at the aspect of where the current employees pay their tax and national insurance. When the investigations came for the steam packet, we now know that all tax and national insurance for employees are being paid through an employment company based in Jersey. As shareholders, potential shareholders, we should be allowed the opportunity to take advantage to influence where our money is going as investment for long term.
You've also called for more funds for the health service, drawing on the Sir Jonathan Michael report that you mentioned in your opening statement. Where do you find that money? Because it is an area that is constantly, what we're told, is underfunded.
It's underfunded. It's not overspent, our health service. In the looking at what government is proposing through the review, the Sir Jonathan Michael review, there is intimation this will be a major issue at the general election next year. The proposal is to go down the route of the Jersey scheme for funding of our health service, which means that we would have an increase to our national insurance contributions to provide for the expected expenditure on the health service.
What's the reaction been like to increasing national insurance? Because that can't be popular.
It's not popular, but we're in unprecedented times. What I would like to do, personally, if voted and if I become an MHK, is to seek the opinions of all island residents, give them the numbers as an accountant, give them the numbers to say, this is what your expectations are, this is going to cost us, how much more would you pay in tax and national insurance? The Manx people must answer that question.
Sure they will. Claire Christian, moving on slightly. You've called for more support and focus on small businesses. Does that draw on your own experience in
yes,
business?
Yes, absolutely. The small business community is one of the main reasons why we're surviving COVID economy fallout. It makes up 70% of our economy and it's really crucial. It's the backbone of our economy. So yes, it is through personal experiences, but it's the reason why we don't have, and we do have an increasing number of unemployed, but we don't have a lot of unemployed as compared to the UK right now because of our small business community.
Well, speaking about creating jobs, then another popular theme in many of your manifestos this evening, you've talked about medicinal cannabis as a way of creating jobs, 200 to 250. How would that work?
So we would seek investment from external, from the UK or elsewhere, and they would set up over here and they would create an economy basically for medicinal cannabis, and we have the opportunity to do that, and that would create 200 to 250 jobs in the first year. I've been told that that's what the estimates are.
Does the island have the workforce ready to fit into that?
We need to skill those people, absolutely, and that will provide lots of job opportunities to do that.
You've also spoken about air links. We've talked about sea links. You've talked about partnering with smaller airlines as a result of the COVID-19 uncertainty. Now, we've already seen something similar with Orini, with Guernsey. Isn't that already happening?
It is already happening, but we could also be looking to Loganair as well for some help and support, and be looking at getting a backup plan, because we don't know in the future what the state of our airlines are going to be like. We don't know if there's going to be an EasyJet in 6 months' time. The way that it's going, it might not. So we need to have that support in place now and basically work with them to have that infrastructure in place.
Moving down the line, Ian James Clanton, also known as HM the Soul. You said in your opening statement, as well as at the Black Lives Matter march, that you are the first black man and American to be running in a Tynwald by-election, and you see an opportunity to create a new image of the Isle of Man. So what does that image look like?
I believe that the image of the Isle of Man that we currently find ourselves in is one where each and every person has the right of representation. As I said before, the Isle of Man for a long time has had several voices, not only just ethnic minorities, but people from all around the world. I think that we forget that the Isle of Man was a powerful naval force. It had an influence over several countries, and many of those individuals came here to our island. Their stories were never told. Their voices were never heard. Had it not been for the imprisonment of James Brown in the 1860s, the Isle of Man would not have found itself in the situation where all of us as candidates can sit in a room and have an election, a general election, an election for people. I know that this is a by-election, but had it not been for that individual's imprisonment, we would not be in this room right now able to have and discuss and to talk about the issues that we find as Manx individuals living here on the Isle of Man as a key and important part to who we see as our leaders. The second thing to that is the fact that I am a different type of candidate. I'm the very first individual to run as openly LGBTQ+. I'm the very first Black male. I'm the very first American. And I'm the youngest person here. I think that it not only requires bravery, it requires people to have a trust within the constituency to know that they also have a role to play. We cannot sit back and just talk about local business. We can't just say that medicinal cannabis is the right way. We have to decriminalize possession. There are so many people here that are unrepresented, that do not have a voice.
So you support recreational cannabis?
100%. I feel that the cases that we found specifically through the COVID-19 lockdown measures are completely outrageous. I feel that there are so many younger individuals that will find themselves in a situation where their lives are destroyed because we've not legalized faster. I look at the United Kingdom and I see the fact that the UK is in the greatest recession that it has ever been in modern history. Yet we are following in line with them. We need an MHK that can challenge the status quo, that's willing to see a very much more independent or sovereign Isle of Man. And that is what I will be fighting for the constituency of Douglas South.
You're unique as well on this panel because you do not have a manifesto. Is there one forthcoming, or have you chosen not to do that?
I've waited. It's been part of my strategy. I think that most of the manifestos that have been put into the mix at the moment have probably been discarded or placed into the rubbish bin. I want to wait a little bit longer, form those relationships as I've been doing for the past 5 years. I'm not just a candidate out here just to speak about what I believe is great for the Isle of Man. These 5 years I've been on the island, actually 6 years now, I have focused on energy independence. I have focused on international trade, and I have focused on university education. And I think that that's one of the key things about my manifesto, which makes it unique. It's not just something that's out there to make people feel good and make them think that I'm only interested in it from an election. I will continue to fight for these things if elected and if not.
Well, just touching on university education, we do have a university college Isle of Man here. So why is that a priority to build a separate facility that would cost millions?
The University College Isle of Man still sees itself as a institution which relies on the University of Chester for university granting degrees. If the Isle of Man had a proper university, it would be able to ensure that our young people would have an all paid for expense of education, which is their right here on the island, and not have to risk themselves going to the country that is the worst impacted per capita in the world in order to grant them a university degree. I think that it's time that the Isle of Man, specifically our government, take responsibility. A university should have been built here. I mean, we have so much money that goes through the Isle of Man, and how is the fact that none of this actually gets spent on university education? There are many individuals here on student debts. There are many people that can't actually come back to the Isle of Man because the workforce or even local businesses are not supportive enough for them to come back. Why would you come back if you have a degree in maritime sciences or in any type of degree that is not offered here on the Isle of Man when there are no businesses here to support you? We need a candidate that can actually create jobs. We need someone that can create new sectors, and we need someone that can go offshore and find outside investment. I am the only candidate out of the other 9 who can freely travel back and forth to America, which is the largest GDP in the world, and ensure permanent trade links can occur here for the Isle of Man for each and every person.
Okay, moving on, because as I say, we don't have much more time, but 5 minutes left, so we'll try and get through some closing statements as well. But David Fowler, you also ran in 2016, and in your manifesto, you touch on a number of points, one being some concerns around nurses at the hospital. Could you explain what those concerns are?
Yes, well, I learned this back in 2016 at the hustings meeting, actually. Apparently the nurses are banned from doing overtime here and in the UK, and we're bringing in nurses on agency nurses at up to £75 an hour.
I did put those points to the health minister himself, actually, who got back to me today. Yes. To say that that's not the case, that nurses are not banned from doing overtime. They can be limited by their line manager to how many hours or how much overtime they can do, which could impact their excessive working.
I mean, I have heard since then that they're on a limited contract of something like between 35 and 40 hours, and then apparently they have to work on the bank, which is a lot poorer deal, and maybe that some of them aren't taking up the work because it's not as good, you know.
Well, another point, the £75 an hour, that's also been disputed by the health minister. Apparently they don't often use agency nurses. It is bank nurses, and they don't get paid. They get paid a normal nurse rate.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That was what I was informed in 2016. Maybe they've reduced the number of agency nurses now, you know.
Okay. Other points you discuss is protecting the elderly and disabled, vulnerable people. Mm. How do you plan to do that?
Well, I mean, I've met a number of blind and partially sighted people within the Douglas South, and they've just complaining that there's uneven pavements and they need crossings and things, you know.
Are these things not being sorted with capital schemes at the moment?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a blind person in Lenag Park who has great difficulty crossing the road across towards the spa shop there, and they've been there for years and no one's ever tried to put a crossing down there, and yet they put a zebra crossing up the top of Stevenson Way, which isn't that difficult to cross unless there's some blind people up there, but I've not met any blind people up there, you know.
You're an advocate of an all-island rating system.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I mean, I'm quite passionate about that because they're trying, at some stage, they want to do a rates review. And I think the people of Douglas South, particularly Saddleston and Farm Hill, will get stung by this. You know, a banding system like the UK. They have discussed all-island rates before. And I think the problem is a lot of the MHKs outside of Douglas want to keep their cheap rates bills, but I have thought of a twist on this which might sway the vote and get something done, to maybe have a two island rating system. So we have the bottom half of the island is a Douglas rate and the top half would be a Ramsey rate, so people living up in the top of the island couldn't complain that they were paying for the Douglas services if they don't go down there and use them, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I thought we would have some time for some closing statements, but sadly, we have completely run out of time. However, I will just finish by saying thank you to everybody for joining us this evening. As I say, this will be available as a podcast after broadcast. It'll also be available as a video on our YouTube channel and Facebook page. And you can listen in as well for the next week's live programme, which will be at the same time, 6 o'clock or just after the news. We'll be speaking to the remaining five candidates there.